Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the silly old permission to get in that mothership?
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My co-worker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Good, have a good day. We appreciate you being with us. We're happy to be here every single weekday morning, 6 until 10 Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific, on the ever-expanding CBS Sports Radio Network. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. Coming up this hour here on the show, it's Trash Tuesday, so time to take out the trash. We'll do that coming up in 20 minutes from now. Trash Tuesday, 20 minutes from now. And in 40 minutes, Mraz is back on the Schwartz beat. We've now labeled its own segment. It's called Meat on the Bone. And that's where Mraz digs through the latest in Peter Schwartz news and delivers it just like Brian Windhorst would do, a LeBron tidbit. It's Meat on the Bone coming your way 40 minutes from now, because March.
It doesn't matter who we are. What matters is our plan.
What's amazing is that is Schwartz's best Bane version. His worst Bane version sounds like Underdog from Hanna-Barbera.
It doesn't matter who we are. What matters is our plan.
It doesn't matter who you are. What matters is our plan.
Mraz, next time you speak to one of those college classes at your alma mater who is already banging the drum on putting you into their broadcast hall of fame, I just hope you get at least one question from one of the kids, one of the students, about you being the Peter Schwartz beat reporter and your Meat on the Bone segments.
I mean, obviously that's number one on the resume, so I would hope that somebody would ask.
Mm-hmm. I like stuffing.
I'm going to get to the firing of Lloyd Pierce here by the Atlanta Hawks in mere moments, but I just want to continue the conversation that we had at the end of last hour with Mac Jones. Tua Tagovailoa, which interestingly spoke to the Yahoo Sports crew over there, and it sounded like to many of us that the music bed behind him was a bogus at the plate music bed. A couple of the listeners caught this as well. It's one of those things that just... That's bogus at the plate. Maybe we'll play a little Tua Tagovailoa as well.
Very athletic, I would say. But he's very smart, too. You know, not just on the field. He's smart off the field as well.
I think it's the same beat.
It is.
I think it's the same beat, which happens oftentimes in sports media because there's like these licensable generic music bed that you're allowed to use, you know, at your discretion. And multiple media outlets will sign up for the same, you know, music licenses. So they are made by unknown bands and unknown artists, and they're all generic. And, you know, like, this is going to be labeled as, like, Johnny Come Lately, heavy guitar licks, alt rock. And you're going to download that and use that as your music bed. And I think that it's the same beat. And so Tua was speaking over the old Andrew Bogish at the Plate podcast beat, which was from 2013. Bogish hosted a baseball podcast for CBS Sports Radio, which was quickly discontinued because we had great dreams as a young sports radio network, which were all quickly dashed.
See you next time. I'm Bogish at the Plate.
I mean, I should talk to Bogish when he's ready to jump on, but these were the salad days of CBS Sports Radio, where Bogish was even being sent to the Super Bowl, of all things. Bogish had his own podcast with its own open, and we were sending him to the Super Bowl, Mraz. I mean, nowadays, that sounds like a complete alternate universe.
I mean, Bogish did get there before Dan Silverman did, so I guess that's a good thing. But yes, imagine, just anybody who wants to go could go. Basically, they let everybody go except Bilotti year one. That was the philosophy.
That's Bogish, true. Let's go back to the, you know, kind of like the NFL does throwback, like 100th anniversary or 75th anniversary. CBS Sports Radio's, what, 8th anniversary. That was a glorious time in this network's existence.
And I mean, it was month two. We launched on January 2nd or 3rd. And then the next month, 5 weeks later, we were all in New Orleans for the Super Bowl. I mean, we had our own rooms. We got to stay. We had a show Friday morning. And they said, you know what? Stay for Friday night. You guys can leave on Saturday. Have one free night in New Orleans. When we got there, the first day on the set, big, beautiful set in the middle of the media room, each one of us got a bag of CBS Sports Radio swag.
Whoa.
Like three polos, maybe a sweatshirt, and a, yeah, like it was, we were fancy for like 18 months. The next year went to New York, but that was the only bad thing, was the second Super Bowl of these salad days was in New York. There was no travel, but that's the Super Bowl I actually went to because it was in New York. They sent me to the game to experience the game to talk about the next morning on the esteemed John Feinstein show.
I mean, in 2013 and 2014, me and Mraz are doing overnights, and no management is listening. I mean, absolutely nobody, no bosses are listening. And so we are getting away with absolutely, you know, red-handed murder every single night, doing the craziest, weirdest things possible just to try to draw some attention. But the rest of the lineup were going through some heavy hitters. I mean, the morning show was TBD in the AM. Tiki and Brandon Tierney and Dana Jacobson.
Big Ragu.
And then there was John Feinstein, and you were part of the Feinstein crew. And then after that was Rome, and then it was running into the Doug Gottlieb show. He was the anchor afternoon drive of CBS Sports Radio. Then evenings were Brian Jones and Chris Moore, Mojo. And then after that was
Bacon.
Scotty Farrell. You know, Pharrell off the bench, on the bench, and then us, you know, bringing up the rear in the overnights. I mean, this was a time when, as you said, they're printing out merch for you guys. I mean, not us, but there's merch. There's freaking merch. Yeah. You guys got grab bags of merch. I mean,
went to two Final Fours, too, Atlanta and Dallas. Two Final Fours.
It's amazing. Now, if we fast forward, you know, we've turned over that roster quite a bit at this point, I think. It's
us. But have we, though? I mean, if we've moved Tiki and Tierney around, we've moved you around. We just moved Amy from weekends to weekdays. No, There's other places that have been a little in flux.
Feinstein, no longer. Both Mo and Joe, no longer.
No Mo, no Joe.
Gottlieb, no longer. Dana, no longer. I mean, we've had Pharrell, no longer. I mean, we've had some major roster turnover here, you know? So, but yeah, back then, you had your own baseball podcast. We were like branching out into multiple 8 years ago before the podcast boom was even as big as it is now. And then, you know, I don't know what happened to Bogus at the Plate. You had your own signage. You had a giant sign behind you.
That's how I first met Taz. We would overtake Taz's podcast studio up in Midtown in a different CBS location, and we had to be very careful to put back all his wrestling figurines exactly where they were for the Bogus at the Plate signage. But it's worth pointing out, the people who liked me for podcasts are no longer employed by the company, so that might explain at least partially why they have different jobs now, is that they tried and failed multiple podcasts that involved me, either solely or as a crew. So yeah, there is that on their resume.
Speaking of roster turnover, we've had a lot of roster turnover all over the place. So this brings us back to the heavy guitar licks behind Tua Tagovailoa talking about Mac Jones, and Tua says that Mac Jones is a more mobile Tom Brady. I don't even know why those words would come out of anybody's mouth. Tom Brady is freaking Tom Brady. Let's not compare anybody to Tom Brady, let alone the fifth best quarterback in this draft. I don't understand why this keeps happening. And Mraz, this is the type of thing going into the draft that makes me want to tune out everything, because it's not just Tua being a nice teammate. You have draft nicks also comparing Mac Jones to Tom Brady's skill set. Why do we do this?
It goes back actually yesterday, DA, to you playing Barkley comparing Simmons and Embiid to Kobe and Shaq. And it's just this constant thirst. And I think the NFL draft is a higher volume of this. Of this need that everything needs to be a comparison to an all-time great. Because if you compare anybody to anything less than an all-time great, it suddenly sounds like you're doing a disservice. Like, okay, you brought up Matt Ryan's a good one. But if somebody said, oh, Mac Jones reminds me a lot of, I don't know, just Kirk Cousins, everybody's going, oh, you can't draft another Kirk Cousins in the first round. So it's just this need to have to compare everybody to an all-time great and make a spin on it. Because anything less would be unfair to those guys. It is so ridiculous, our need for constant comparisons, I think, in sports talk, TV, and radio now.
I understand why we do comparisons. It's because a lot of people will follow the NFL draft and have never watched Mac Jones. And so they won't have their own comparisons. So they need something to imagine. Okay, so you could imagine if I compared Mac Jones to Kyler Murray, you would imagine a shorter guy, highly athletic, running a spread offense. If I say Matt Ryan, you know it's a traditional pocket passer, goes deep, etc. I understand the need for he plays like this, but when you bring up these unrealistic comparisons, Mac Jones, if he is a tenth of Tom Brady, he will have had a successful career. Calling him a more mobile Tom Brady is insanity. It means he's the greatest quarterback ever to live by a long shot, because the only thing Tom Brady can't do is run. So we're giving Tom Brady the only thing he can't do, which means he's a winner of 14 Super Bowls instead of 7. And again, this is not just cracking on Tua. Plenty of people have compared Mac Jones to Tom Brady. It's stupid. It is stupid. Matt Ryan, fine. But even Matt Ryan was the best quarterback in his draft and the number one pick overall. I mean, I don't understand why we can't just say, like, okay, even a more mobile Matt Ryan feels unfair. What about, like, a more mobile Matt Schaub? I don't know. He had a decent career.
Yeah, I mean, and there's also ways to do it. You don't have to just say he's a mobile Tom Brady. If your comparison to Tom Brady is something like this, hey, there's a lot of great quarterbacks in this draft, but he's being overlooked kind of like Brady was overlooked in his draft. You know what I mean? Like, there's ways to word your comparison to Tom Brady without just saying he's a more mobile Tom Brady, because then that obviously leads to, well, so he's just now, like you said, the greatest quarterback of all time, and then some.
Bothers me to no end, and I don't think it's going to stop. I think it's only going to continue to twist and churn out of control, because we're still 6 weeks away from the draft, and we're already getting the fifth best quarterback in this draft has comps to a mobile Tom Brady. Also, by the way, Mac Jones is thrown to the three best wide receivers of this draft alongside Ja'Marr Chase, and was handing off to the best running back in this draft. So kind of helps, kind of. Yeah. In the NBA, the Atlanta Hawks fire Lloyd Pierce, and this is a tough one because the Hawks were bad again, and the Hawks were not supposed to be bad again. There were expectations that the Hawks would be improved this year. And when you look at the overall record of Lloyd Pierce, the man lost twice as many games as he won. He was 63 and 120. 63 and 120. Year number one, he went 29 and 53, missing the playoffs. Year number two, last year, they went 20 and 47, were outside of the bubble. And this year, they started off okay, but then fell on hard times. They are 14 and 20. So a man that is 60 games under 500, it's hard to defend not firing a guy that's 60 games under 500. I get it. But I also have to ask this question. Was this really a good enough Hawks team to expect much more than what we're getting right now? It's Trae Young, who chucks up a million shots a game. And what? I mean, they signed Rajon Rondo. Okay, Rondo is getting to the point in his career where he's toast. They signed Bogdan Bogdanovich. Okay, but has been in and out of injury. They've got Danilo Gallinari. Okay, but we know Gallinari at this point in his career is not great. They have young guys like Cam Reddish. Okay. But again, still an unproven young commodity. Clint Capella, who's a serviceable center, but not a great center. We're asking that team to be that much better than 14 and 20. And we're demanding that much more out of Lloyd Pierce, out of that roster. That's the roster that we demand more out of, or else you're going to get fired. Again, in some ways, I get it. Hawks fans are sick and tired of losing. They've been irrelevant for a really long time. They've got Trae Young. You don't want to continue to just build a loser around Trae Young. Okay, I understand somewhat of the thinking, but I don't agree with coming into this season and thinking that this Hawks team was a slam dunk playoff team and that if they're not, it's on the coach. I don't believe that. Okay, they got some veterans. They had some veterans around Trae Young. And in a bad Eastern Conference, again, you might compare them to some of the other squads of the East and say, well, they probably should be better than, say, the Bulls, or being floating around where the Wizards are is they should be better than that. And if the Hornets can be right around 500 and the Pacers could be right around 500 and look at the Knicks, they're above 500, we expect the same type of growth. All right, maybe. But again, am I looking at Lloyd Pierce and saying, man, you're really underachieving because you've got Trae Young and Rajon Rondo? I can't say that. Like, Trae Young, Clint Capella, Danilo Gallinari, and you're supposed to be that much better than this? I kind of felt yesterday, Mraz, that it was an unfair sacrificial lamb by Lloyd Pierce to take the zig when in reality the Hawks weren't as good as some of the preseason excitement would have suggested.
I think Lloyd Pierce is actually a victim of what's gone on in the Eastern Conference, and I think this is just the Hawk ownership group looking at this from afar and seeing insert Thibodeau and the Knicks here as the four seed and only the fourth team to be above 500 in the East. And I think they have and know they have a pretty damn good young star in Trae Young. And the fact that basically they spent a little money in the offseason, probably foolishly, they gave Gallinari way too much money, they expect a little more better on their returns. I think if there were all the names we talked about in the East before the year, the Celtics, the Raptors, the Pacers, these teams were all playing above their head and above 500, I don't know that Lloyd Pierce is fired. I think they're looking around saying this would have been a great opportunity for us to make strides with our young star and Trae Young and the money we spend. And instead, we're 11th in the East in what is maybe the worst Eastern Conference we've seen in years. I actually think Lloyd Pierce is more of a victim of his surrounding circumstances more so than the actual talent on his roster.
Could be. Fair point. I got a feeling that Nate McMillan or whoever is the full-time head coach, though, of the Atlanta Hawks moving forward, we're not going to sit there and say, oh, boy, that was the missing piece of the Hawks. If they get better, significantly better, it's going to be because their talent gets better. It's not going to be because their coach is going to be that much better than Lloyd Pierce. When we come back, it's a Trash Tuesday. We'll take out the trash, including our trashes. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
So what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I gotta trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday, my favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
All right, send us your trashes. Tweet at me, DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS. Or dial me up at 855-212-4CBS. Mraz, lead us off. Who are you trashing?
All right. I am trashing, and this is a very old trash, but it has to be rebrought up. In my trip to Florida, the lack of hustle at food establishments, I think, is something that we're well aware of and you forget until you revisit again. I mean, there's a reason there's a lot of skinny people in Florida. It's because you pull up to a Wendy's for lunch and you don't get your meal till dinner. It is ridiculous how long it takes to get food in Florida. Restaurants, fast food. There's just no hustle about it. And I think I'm not necessarily trashing the lack of hustle, but I'm trashing the acceptance of the lack of hustle. That we can all just make this joke when we leave Florida. Oh, it takes forever to get your food again. No. This is unacceptable. Let's go here. You have time to squirt mustard on a hamburger. You got time to get those fries in the bag. I ordered an iced tea at Dunkin' Donuts one morning. What takes me 2 minutes by me took me, I'm not kidding, like 38 minutes to get served. It is ridiculous what's going on in there. Somebody's got to shape up the food industry in Florida.
Okay, trash.
Illegal dumping.
Sounds like you're eating healthy down there.
Well, I mean, look, not a lot of home-cooked meals, way too much Cracker Barrel. There was a lot that happened down there.
Well, you know, when you live in paradise, there's just no rush on anything, man. It's sunny all the time. Palm trees are swaying. You know, you're just kind of, you're at ease. There's no rush.
Yeah, well, when you got a baby screaming and I'm trying to get back in the pool, you want to get your food quick. If I make it a commitment to fast food, why am I waiting 40 minutes for food? I might as well just sit down at a restaurant then. It's ridiculous.
4 minutes and under.
Andrew Bogish, who are you trashing?
It's a multi-level trash from yesterday, DA. Whether it's Albert Breer, who I think started all of this with a Peloton J.J. Watt update, then J.J. Watt himself. Yesterday, the busiest time of day for me is from like 11:30 a.m. to 1:30, the last 2 hours of my shift, because in that two-hour window, I am on the network here for us. I'm on WFAN. I'm on 880 WCBS. In New York as well, and I have to record my sports minute. So I'm sitting down here and I see Albert Breer share this Peloton profile update that is apparently from J.J. Watt that mentions Cleveland, Buffalo, and a third team that I'm completely blanking on now. So I write my sports minute going, oh my God, we have now graduated Green Bay from Twitter and Instagram posts to now Peloton posts leading us towards NFL free agency. Then J.J. Watt goes, I don't own a bike. That's not me. So I have to redo my sports minute because now J.J. Watt has changed the dynamic that we're not doing Peloton updates. And then at 12:49, as my sports minute is playing all around the country about J.J. Watt's pending free agency, J.J. Watt goes, I'm going to the Cardinals. So my sports minute now is completely useless. And our good friends at WFAN don't play my minute when they're supposed to. They play it an hour later. So I have to re-record it again in the middle of doing 17 updates on four different stations in like 19 minutes. So I had a I'm supposed to be lazy. I couldn't be lazy yesterday. And I want to trash everybody who made that impossible.
Trash them.
Overflowing landfill.
So Albert Breer reported that J.J. Watt's Peloton profile included these three teams. And in fact, it wasn't J.J. Watt's real Peloton profile?
This is correct.
It was K.J. Watt's Peloton profile.
Really?
Yeah, there was a guy named K.J. Watt who knew his name was close to J.J. Watt, so he had some fun with his profile. So kind of like
has J.J.'s picture there as well.
Kind of like burner Twitters, we have burner Peloton accounts now.
So this was a really bad job then by Breer to report this as J.J. Watt's profile without clearly any information that would link J.J. Watt to this profile except for the picture, the profile picture.
Right, and it made somewhat sense because J.J. had been posting these things on his own Twitter account, like kind of cryptically, like teasing us, dragging us along. So it made a little sense that he would take another dig at people even though we didn't know whether Peloton was real or not. And Breer was the first person I saw share it. I don't know if he actually, quote-unquote, broke the news, But for like a 45-minute window yesterday, everyone on Twitter was freaking out that now Peloton was involved indirectly in breaking NFL news, and haha, JJ's messing with us. And then he didn't mess with us, and then he did mess with us by saying, hey, it's me, I'm going to the Cardinals.
Wow, it was a lot. His profile picture right now, and you're right. The username is KJ Watt. So why this was reported as JJ Watt, I don't know. Okay, Pete the Body Bellotti, who are you trashing?
Oh, DA, I'm trashing myself. Every time I seem to be holding items or like a groceries in my hand, and I have to go to my pocket to find my keys, I always end up going to the going through all my pockets and getting to the last pocket to get my keys. So I'm trashing myself for not being adequate enough to put my keys in a spot where I could grab them when I'm going into the building with Timmy and groceries at the same time.
All right. Warning, hazardous material.
Pete with the self-trash. Well, pains me to do this, but I'm going to have to trash the parents on flights that bring like 13-month-olds on the flight. And those 13-month-old, they can't be held accountable. They don't know what they're doing. But, you know, in the middle of a pandemic, they're touching everything. They're putting their paws, seats, and the screens and other people's armrests. And then in the middle of like a 2.5-3 hour flight, they're screaming. They want to run around, but they're on a flight. And again, they're like a year old, so they don't know any better. But, you know, pandemic flight, pandemic travel right now is kind of intense. Not everybody's all that comfortable. And so to add to already the stress and anxiety level, to throw a one-year-old in there that just screams. You ever been on a flight where the baby just screams, shrieks, just every like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and you're like, what's going on with those parents? Why would those parents do this? I mean, this trip must be really, really vital, right? Set of parents wouldn't ever bring a one-year-old on a flight in the middle of a pandemic unless, like, grandma was dying or, like, they had to get to this family reunion or something like this. You know, that would be the only explanation, because you couldn't stand a set of parents that would do that, put an entire flight in the middle of a crying baby like this in the middle of a pandemic for, like, a vacation, right? They would never do that. So I'm going to trash any parents that would put 250 people on a flight through that pain over those 3 hours during the middle of pandemic. Trash them.
This must be garbage time.
And those parents actually tweeting pictures of the kid.
Yep.
If I were to do that, I would think that the parents would want to keep under the radar about the kid screaming and going bonkers and upsetting the entire plane. But I guess, Mraz, sometimes when you have a moment, you got to make sure that you share it as well.
Yeah. Have you ever heard the saying, happy wife, happy life? Because there's a lot of times a husband could make a colossal error in society and civilization and big no-nos that he has hated his whole life upon travel, but basically gets forced into it because he sees that the juice ain't going to be worth the squeeze on the fight on the other end. So I just want to say in a response to your Trish, there I feel for a lot of husbands who might be not the ones who thought this was a good idea and just have to do it because of happy wife, happy life, and then basically have an anxiety attack because you should get kicked off the plane and maybe a plane should land somewhere in Virginia and remove you.
I feel the pain of a husband in a situation like that, because I feel like that husband might already be worried about people annoyed at him, mm-hmm. and already might have, you know, feelings of anxiety getting on the plane anyway in a situation like that. And then to have his worst case scenario unfold, it might be really, really brutal on said husband for those 3 hours.
Yeah, and what about said husband who maybe explained to said wife that maybe the 13-month-old might like grabbing other people's masks off because they don't know any better, or touching the people in front of them's hair, and then being told, no, this kid of yours might be a good girl. You know, she's going to play with her toys or whatever. And you say, are you sure that now is really the time to be doing this? But you just have to do it. And then whatever happens afterwards, you get yelled at as if it's your fault.
Was the flight of said hypothetical couple better on the way back from maybe a hypothetical vacation, or was it just as bad as the way down?
Way back, but basically for other reasons. We had better flight attendants on the way back, emptier seats in rows where said flight attendants were obsessed with said 13-month-old babies and wanted to play and let them frolic and stuff. So I would say just the circumstances on a certain flight could change everything enormously. Timing of a flight where it's not bedtime for said child is enormous. So things may have been better for a hypothetical flight on the way home. Not enough that I'll ever travel again before said child is 13 years old.
But at least, you know, Alicia, on the good news is you got to experience Wendy's and Dunkin' Donuts in Florida because they don't have those up here. So all of that effort was worth the trip to the exotic locale to take on those delicacies.
I did get Cracker Barrel. Can't get Cracker Barrel on Long Island. It's been phenomenal.
Mike tweets, DA, happy Trash Tuesday. From sore losing, obnoxious, to the constant need for debating Philly dudes or climbing up my highly not liked ladder. It's not all, but lately it's been most. Do you want me to jump off the Ben Franklin Bridge? Trashing Philly fans from Mike. Trash them.
Hefty, hefty, hefty.
Rob of the 321 tweets, I'm trashing those people who don't pay attention while driving and their turn signal keeps flashing. I was behind a guy yesterday for 15 miles with it on. 15 miles, DA. Even worse, driving in the left lane doing the speed limit. Trash him.
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
Get him out.
Send us your trashes. Brett tweets, from Boise, I want to trash the COVID situation at my work. We went almost a year with one case. Now we've had 15 people out since last Tuesday due to it. Hope all my coworkers are feeling fine and getting better soon. Hashtag trash it.
Don't let a raccoon rip into that bag.
Randy tweets, love the show, never miss a moment. However, I'm trashing you, DA, for trashing Tua for talking up Mac Jones. We haven't seen him play yet. Give him a chance. Trash me.
Charlie Sheen just dumped that on the set of Men at Work.
Mac Jones might be good, but we can't compare him to Tom Brady. That's unfair to Mac Jones. We haven't seen him play yet. We've seen him play in college, and he was really good. He's not going to be a more mobile Tom Brady. I guarantee you he will not become the greatest quarterback ever. So I feel very comfortable saying let's hold back, let's withhold on comparing any NFL draft prospects to the greatest quarterback ever. Ever. Dixie Landan tweets, I organized my dish cabinet last week, had all of the bowls and plates and silverware matched up in neat, orderly fashion. After a week, it's like they all grew legs and just decided to run all over the place and get all disorganized. FML, get me to Friday. Trash them.
Household waste goes in this bin.
Continue to hit us up on Trash Tuesday on Twitter, DA on CBS. On the phones, 855-212-4227. Like I said, Twitter, DA on CBS. The Player of the Week brought to you by Grainger. Taking a look at the one who got it done this week. How about James Harden become the first player since 1977 to go 30 points, 15 assists, and 10 rebounds, and not have a turnover. He did this last night as the Nets get an overtime victory over the Spurs. They're just a half game behind the Sixers for the number one seed of the East. The Player of the Week, sponsored by Grainger, for all the ones who get it done. Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, backed by 24/7 support and free access to product specialists and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or just stop by. Dan says, wow, DA, quote, we were doing the weirdest, craziest things back then just to get some attention on the overnights. End of quote. What exactly has changed in 8 years, DA? Coming up this hour, you're going to do a meat on the bone segment about some fat stooge and his dumb Twitter. The show sure has changed a lot. LOL.
I did get my back shaved by said stooge on the air.
Dan, you might be right. I guess. The more things change, the more time slots change, the more they stay the same. Yeah. Coming up, meat on the bone. In about 10 minutes from now, where Mraz will do a deep dive into Peter Schwartz's Twitter. But first, our headlines. Andrew Bogish has them. Bogues, what do we got?
Here's Andrew.
And they are proudly sponsored by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy. It is the longest current losing streak in the NBA. It's the franchise's longest since a 15-gamer in 2001. It is 12 consecutive losses for the Rockets after a 101-90 home loss to the Cavaliers. It's been a long year one for head coach Steven Silas, but he's trying to be positive.
Our guys fought as they fought super hard. I mean, shoot, we had basically 6.5 guys play tonight. I'm so proud of those guys. Like John didn't want to come out. Second night of a back-to-back, didn't want to come out. Wanted to fight.
Wall fought for 40 minutes, scoring 32 points with 5 assists, but it was not enough. The Blazers snapped the 4-game skid, 123-111 over the Hornets. The Nets snapping a 17-game losing streak in San Antonio, 124-113 in OT. Dallas outscored Orlando, 130-124. The Sixers, 130. The Pacers, 114. And the Pelicans topped the Jazz, 129-124, with Zion scoring 36 points with 10 boards. As for the college kids, number 16 Oklahoma losing at number 17 Oklahoma State, 79-75. Number 21 Virginia downed Miami, 62-51. And High Point had no chance at Winthrop Big South quarters.
Rebounded by Vaudrin. Eagles right to left with 12:05 to go. Fall in a left wing three. Yes! Tubby Smith badly needs a timeout. Maybe he needs a couple of them. It's 23-6.
Yeah,
Winthrop.
That Tubby Smith now at High Point, and the timeout didn't help.
Out ahead to Vaudrin at 2-on-1. Alley-oop, arm slam dunk! Adonis Arms caught it and cocked it and threw it home. 42-23.
I still can't believe there's a guy named Adonis Arms that plays for Winthrop. That was awesome. His alley-oop last night. Super Dave Freeman, of course, on the call on Winthrop Radio. The Eagles cruising into the semis, 83-54.
You know what you're learning here, too? Forget all the crazy calls that we gave Super Dave to do. He didn't give any crazy calls, basically, that we gave in those last two folks played. He is awesome at college basketball play-by-play. I mean, what an basically an unknown gem if it's not for DA and the fans of Winthrop. He's awesome at this.
Yeah, he really is. His voice is great. His delivery is great. His energy is always great. His way with words is great. I'm totally with you. I mean, for Winthrop, they're really lucky to have a guy like Dave doing the game. And he even dropped the tacos for us last night as well, which we'll play later on in the morning. So the guy is just a superstar. And if Winthrop makes a run of this postseason, oh boy, look out. We're going to have some gems.
I like stuffing.
The Boston Red Sox became the first to use a new spring training rule yesterday. Managers can pull the plug on an inning no matter what the situation is after their pitcher has thrown 20 pitches. So after Garrett Richards loaded the bases, then walked in a run, Alex Cora said that's enough. The inning was over. Richards went back out and threw a 1-2-3 seconds after regrouping. And from the NHL, Vegas top Minnesota, 5-4 in OT. The Leafs shut out the Oilers, 3-0, and Ottawa took care of Calgary 5-1. DA, back to you.
Right on. Thank you, Bogues. When we come back, we've kind of danced around this segment before, but it's now official. We've got a title for it. It's called Meat on the Bone. Mraz brings you the beat, what's going on to the Peter Schwartz beat, and it's coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Mornings are hard. Your sports radio show doesn't have to be.
DA, Mraz, Andrew Bogus, Pete the Body Bilotti, you guys are like my celebrities. I don't like Hollywood. I don't like movie stars, musicians, none of that. You guys are like my celebrities, and I really appreciate you guys every time I get a chance to listen.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
It's a Trash Tuesday, so let us know what's eating at you. Tweet at us, DA on CBS, or on the phones at 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. So we'll continue reading through your trashes coming up here on the show. But we like to joke around here that Mraz is the Brian Windhorst of the Peter Schwartz beat. Now, Schwartz was our update anchor for the first 2 years of our existence here on CBS Sports Radio, doing overnights in 2013 and 2014. Now, we still have Schwartz in our lives because Schwartz will regularly attend the block party hosted by Mraz and company. And Schwartz is one of these just incessant social media guys. He will post anything and everything on social media. And because of it, we still follow his life. Now, it's kind of crazy. I unfollowed all of his accounts because I just couldn't take it anymore. It was a beatdown. It felt like I was in some MMA death grip, and I just kept getting punched in the face. And I said, I can't do it. I can't do more kids' photos, more pictures of corn dogs. I can't do more foul balls. I just can't do it. I can't do more tweets about the Islanders' third shift, nor can I do more Long Island Lizards power play lacrosse tweets. I just can't do it anymore.
I'll be the hot dog.
But Mraz still follows him on all of these accounts. And so Mraz knows the ins and outs of everything going on in Pete's life because Pete shares. He's an oversharer. He shares everything. And so because we're always behind the scenes talking about what Schwartz shared, it just makes sense to also do it on the air because you know Pete as well because either you follow him or you've heard him on our airwaves or you've heard us reference him. And so instead of doing this in some type of happenstance form, we figured, why don't we deliver an official segment for it? Mraz is the Peter Schwartz beat reporter, and so now we have a segment called Meat on the Bone.
I got a lot of meat on my bones.
And so, Mraz, take us through what the latest is in Schwartzland.
2 days ago, Pete, watching the Islander game, I guess he fancies himself an Islander beat reporter, though we don't have an official title or employment anywhere. He tweeted that he was having dinner with his family during the Josh Bailey goal. So since there is no tweeting at the dinner table, I'm tweeting now. He goes on to say a meaningless comment about how important the goal was for the Islanders, which is not where the focus should be. The focus here, DA, I want to hit on is that there's no tweeting at the Schwartz dinner table, which signifies there's no texting, there's no Facebooking, there's no Instagramming, there's no phones allowed at the Schwartz dinner table, which I think is a nice American standard dinner culture to have. You know, we can be so consumed with our phones, you know, after mom cooks and slaves for 4 hours for a nice meal, maybe some stew. The problem here is after being asked what he had for dinner, he responded that he was having noodles and company, which shouldn't surprise anybody. It is takeout, in fact, something that is a staple at the Schwartz dinner household. And I guess my point here would be, I don't need to know that there's no tweeting at your dinner table, but I need to know why now there's a rule. Why is there, in a house that has no rules, a house that we know you'll buy a new TV for a son who throws a baseball through the other one, basically you don't refuse to cook, you won't even cook breakfast for your wife on Mother's Day, you gotta go to IHOP. Why now do you have a rule around dinner? So as you crack open the styrofoam to go trays at Schwartz house for dinner, just understand, put those phones down, rules do apply, DA.
And I guess you might not be allowed to have your phones at the dinner table, but you're allowed to take pictures of all of your dinner before you sit down for dinner because the Super Bowl spread was like 6 or 7 different photos.
Yeah. And remember, you're standing when you take those pictures, not sitting at the table. And number two, that will come with tags of where you got the food, hoping for freebies in the future. So there are loopholes around this rule. Now, Dia, we also need to understand the Knicks have been playing well. Schwartz is basically dismantle the NBA, hates the NBA,
yeah,
but it won't stop him from trying to get a freebie for some food at somebody's house. In fact, Schwartz said on Twitter just 2 days ago as well, same day as no tweeting at the dinner table, I'm going to have to watch some more Knicks games. They're not that bad, and I have to be ready for when at Anthony MSG, that's Anthony Donahue, some Knicks fan, who does features on MSG, invites me to his house for a game.
Oh, no.
Hashtag New York forever. So he's getting the hashtag for Knicks fans to click, and he's begging for an invite, using, of course, the fact that he is some kind of media entity, to go to a man's house where I'm assuming he knows he will be fed handily like a horse in a stable. Oh. And that is the reason he wants to watch a Knicks game.
Wow.
Peter Schwartz.
Wow. So Schwartz is just fishing for an invite via Twitter.
Yeah.
I mean, he can't even just text this guy, hey, I'll come over for the next Knicks game, or let me know if you want to get together for a Knicks game, or I can have you over for a Knicks game. He's using his handle on Twitter to try to fish for an invite.
And in case he doesn't answer, he's included that Knicks New York Forever hashtag, so Knicks fans go, oh, you got to invite Pete over for a game, not knowing the real Pete, of course, who will eat every Fruit Loop in your cabinet. Now, last but not least, EA, just 22 hours ago, as spring sports begin here in the state of New York, finally kids are allowed to play high school sports. His son, who we have tracked forever, longtime football star, has played in a lot of USA camps, a center that fancies himself a Nick Mangold mold. Pete tweeted, 7-year-old at, and I'm not going to include this, his son's Twitter handle, said to me at a MacArthur High School, that would be the high school in Long Island game, "Dad, I'm going to play on this field someday." Today, he's on the field as a MacArthur General for the first day of practice. Good luck to my son and all the student athletes who begin their delayed fall football season today. And here's the only problem I have here. You know how you play on that field? By simply not moving and allowing your dad to sign the permission slip. It's not like he had to beat anything to get on the field. It's a walk-on situation, and you live in the town. 7-year-old, this brings a tear to my eye. Stop it.
Glory Road with the Schwartzes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.